Alrighty. How is everyone? Doing good? Does anyone know what this is? What sort of a box? I just told you. It's an ammo box. So what would be in an ammo box? You got it! Yeah. Alright. So, this morning, I need some volunteers. But before we get some volunteers, let's get our heads in the game. What did we look at last night? Let's toss this around for the answers. Lacey, what did we look at? Sorry? I can't hear you. Do you know what? I don't think the people in the row in front of you can hear you. Oh, yeah, there we go. We looked at God's Son. Give me some titles for God's Son. The Son of God. So, yep, God will take that. Prince, yeah? Prince of what? Oh, Prince of Peace. Got another one? Oh, you already had a shot. The heir of all things. Yeah. All right, we'll take that. Oh, not quite, because God the Father and God the Son are one, but they're separate. They're different. So, good try, though. A great high priest. All right. Let's see if we can get some from last night. There's two more I'm chasing. We've had Prince. We've had Son. There's two more specific ones I'm chasing. We'll get there. The beginning of all things and the end of all things. Yep, but there's an actual title there. Oh! A bit lower next time. Oh, so higher next time.
The author.
The author. There we go. The author. And there's one more. Oh, you had your hand up. The finishing. Yeah, but it's not the one I'm after. You had one? Captain, there we go. Well done. That's the last one I was after. Author, prince, captain. I think you've got a little bit of strand right there. Yeah. All right. So we looked at him as our captain. That's a military term. It's kind of fitting since how it's boot camp, yeah? It's kind of fitting how the theme is to serve in that military capacity. You know, a captain, as I said last night, in the Australian Army, a captain is a man over 120 men and officers. And he's got a say and authority over that. The Bible says a lot about captains. Talks a lot about princes. Talks about a lot about rulers. We're going to go through and have a look at some of what the Bible has to say. And as we looked last night, we looked at Christ as our captain. Now, as we go on from here, I'm going to get you guys to do the Bible readings. Okay, so I'm going to launch some ammunition. If you don't want to read out loud, then just avoid the ammunition. Let someone else get it, okay? Because you're going to get a certain colored ball, and when I need that verse read out, I'll call out the color I need, and we'll just go from there. So we're going to go side to side. So which side am I launching at first? This side. You guys don't want to read, all right? There we go. Grab yourself a ball. And we need some Bible verses read. Who's got red? Hebrews 1, 4 to 7. Hebrews 1, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 1. See, you're right. Someone stole Hebrews. Did they pinch it from you too? No? You good? Here we go. Good man. All right, throw that ball over to your captain, and the captain can run it to the bag, and that's what the bag's for. All righty, so as you read, just we'll gather the balls back, and they can go in the bag up the back. All righty. Did we look at this last night? Anyone notice that last night? We read down to these verses, and then we just skipped all over them and jumped over there to the next ones, right? And there's a reason for that. I wanted to introduce something here that the Lord deals with that we didn't deal with last night and that we often don't give a lot of thought to. The Bible talks here about God, and it talks about how God has spoken to us in diverse manners over the years as people, and He speaks to us now by His Son. But then verse 4 was the first one you read. The Lord introduces someone else. He says, starts talking about angels. What do you think of when you think of angels? Anybody? What do you think of when you think of angels? Bright beings, bright creatures, right? Who thinks of wings? Come on now. Yeah, you're about... Hey, we do. I mean, there's a few angelic creatures that have wings, but a lot of them don't. When you see angels in the Bible, most of the time they don't have wings. You know, and they're not sprouting around. That's just something Hollywood does, and it sticks in our brain, doesn't it? It's amazing how much something that we see in this world and something that somebody else's imagination sticks in our head, and we go, well, that's the Bible. Right? When you think of Jesus, what do you picture? Come on.
A beard.
A beard? What else? Long hair. Yeah.
Holy man.
Do you know why we picture Jesus with long hair? Does anyone know? Yeah, that's a lot of the images, but do you know where that started? What you don't realize is you're all art scholars. You're experts of the Renaissance period. Because Da Vinci, I think it was, drew a picture of Jesus with long hair, and it turns out it was probably a portrait of him or his son, and not of Jesus at all, and he was sporting long hair, and he drew Jesus like that. And so now we all picture Jesus with long flowing hair. And that's not what he would have had. But, when you picture Adam, how do you picture Adam? Come on now. Oh. Okay, yes, bear. Yes. Without a belly button? What color do you picture?
White.
You'll picture a white man, don't you? Do you know what Adam means? It's a red man. Chances are, he wasn't like he was in the picture books. Do you know why you picture a white Adam? Because all of your coloring in pictures have been printed on white A4 paper and you've got to color them in. And so he's there. But this is what's portrayed to us. So much of what you think about in the Bible, you think about in relation to what someone else has given you. What do you picture when you picture the devil? Red?
Horns?
Pitchforks?
Goat legs?
A serpent? See, there's only one of us that's actually scriptural. Well done. Good man. Yeah, but we picture all these things that, these images come into our mind, not because the Bible gives them to us, it's just what we've been shown by society around us. I want to talk to you this morning about some things that the Bible talks about, and talk about angels, But we want to look at it from a biblical perspective and get a biblical understanding, okay? And see what the Bible has to say. So let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Miles, how about you do that for me? I'm just going to pick on you all morning. You're my man today. Amen. Amen. Alrighty, so verse 4, the Bible talks about the Son is so much better than the angels. For under which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son? It goes on again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? The Bible talks about angels here, and it gives us a picture of there's a bunch of them. And the Bible says that that the Son is over them and so much greater than in them. And their task is to worship the Son, not the other way around. The angels are to worship the Son of God. That was what they were created to do. Okay, they got a task. There's lots of them. And their purpose is to be ministering spirits and to worship the Son. All right, now I need, who's got blue? Give me verse 13 and 14. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. If you want to stand, go for your life. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. These angels of God were ministering spirits, and they were sent forth with a task to minister. You know what it is to minister? It's to serve. Hey, how many of you have to wash dishes at home? You got a dishes roster? Audio. You know what? Where's some kitchen staff? Up there we go. Up the back. Do you know what she's doing this week? She's washing dishes for you. You don't have to wash any. That's why you came to camp, right? So you don't have to wash dishes. Because you come here and you get ministered unto. People feed you. People wash your dishes. People run around and pick up all the garbage you leave laying around everywhere. I mean, there's things we shouldn't have to do, but there are people here to serve you, right? People here to minister to you. To look after you. Now, we're not going to worship you. That ain't going to happen. But we're going to try and serve you. The angels, they were set to serve, to minister, to look after, to serve God, to worship God. All right, who's got the yellow? Who's got the yellow? All right, Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Everyone turn there if you're in your Bibles. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Make sure you send your balls back to your captain once you've read your passage. You need to get them gathered in. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 11. And so to which of the angels did he say to sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And you know what the answer is? Not a stinking one of them. How'd you feel about that when the Lord does that if you're an angel? Here's all these angels, and the Lord says, Which one of these did I say, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool? Not a single one. That's like saying to you guys, you know, which one of you guys gets to stay up late into the night and do whatever you want? Not a single one is. I mean, it might be something cool, it might be something you want, but you don't get it. You know who gets that? Cam gets that. And he can stay up late into the night and do what he wants. You don't get that. That's kind of a bit in your face, isn't it, to use that illustration like that? All the angels are around God, and God's there. The angels are ministering unto him. And as God's right, and he said, Now which one of these guys did I say, sit on my right hand until thine enemies be made thy footstool? And he looks around and he goes, You know what? Not a single one of them. I didn't say that to any of these. And the Lord isn't rubbing it in their face. He's just using it to illustrate a difference. Ezekiel 28, are we there? Verse 11 and 12. The Lord said here, thank you, Lord, a lamentation. You know what that is? It's a sad song. A sad song about the king of Tyre. We talked about a prince. We talked about an author. We talked about him that is elsewhere called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the Bible says here to sing a sad song about a king. A sad song about a king of Tyre. And as he talks to us about this king, he tells us a few things. Thou sealest up the sum. A seal is what finishes it. A sum is the total. He's sort of like, you are the end. You're the cream on the top of the whole sum of things. The whole sum of these creatures. He said, you're the pinnacle of it. And he says this in verse 12. They're full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom perfect in beauty. This king that he's speaking of isn't lacking any wisdom. He's full of wisdom. And he's perfect in beauty, complete in beauty. This individual that's been spoken to and spoken of is the sum of it all. As far as beauty goes and wisdom goes in God's creation, he was the seal of it, as far as the things that God created. And then verse 13 and 14, who's green? Verse 13 and 14. Oh, so we start to get a picture, and the Lord just describes a bit more about this individual, but he says, when thou was created. See, what the Lord does here, he says, I want to talk to you about a king. I want to talk to you about the king of Tyre. And as he talks about the king of Tyre, he talks about a king that he'd created. And he starts to describe him, and as he describes this king, he says, you're dressed in all these gems and diamonds and stones and all this beauty. He talks about his workmanship of his tabrets and his pipes, and that's musical language, a workmanship of a musical nature. And the Lord says that it talks about how God created all these in him, and this is how God put him together. What did I just do there? That seems dangerous. Should I be doing that? that's fun. Send them around. Okay. See, what? Here's the thing. If you don't get them, we take... This is called an army volunteer. That's yours, bro. If you don't grab... That's yours. If you don't grab them, then I get to pick who gets it. Alrighty. Who is... I got this one. I didn't put a color on it. Duck back to Hebrews. Save your place. Duck back to Hebrews. Hebrews. Where were we? Chapter 1. I want to show you something. I want to remind you of something we looked at last night. Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom hath he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds. By whom are all things, it goes on to say. The Creator. The Son, the Creator, the Author. And you know what the Bible says here back in Ezekiel 28? It talks about this king And he says that when this king was created, that he was there in the Garden of Eden, and every precious stone was his covering, and the workmanship of his tabrets and of his pipes was prepared in the day that thou wast created. We have a captain that is a creator, and that's Christ Jesus. But when when our captain created everything, he created some other kings. He created other captains, princes. He created other authorities. Do you know why your mum and dad are in charge of you? Pardon? Well, yeah. But, you know, there's plenty of things that give birth to things that they're not in charge. You know? You look at the animal kingdom. There's plenty of parents out there in the animal kingdom that they give birth to a creature and then they walk away. And they're like, I'm not in charge anymore. You're on your own. Now, sadly, there's some parents that do that. But they shouldn't. So why are parents in charge of us when we're kids? God said that. Because God said, Mom and Dad are in charge. He's an authority. Here's someone I'm making in charge. We end up with authorities over us because God says, I'm going to set them in place. God made a king here, and he set him in place as an authority, and he made him beautiful, and he made him wise, dressed him and provided for him. This creation that God made, this creature that God made, was made beautiful and given tabrets and pipes and his workmanship. It seems like he was a musical creature. Hands up if you think you can sing. Hands up if you can play a bit of a musical instrument. Hands up if you can't sing and play a musical instrument if your life depended on it. Yeah. See, some of us are musical creatures, others are not. I was in a choir at school. You know what the choir master said? He said, and I was keen, I was excited, I was enthusiastic, and he said, the only kid I've got that's got any drive to do anything is tone deaf and cannot sing. That was me. Sit up there squawking like a chook. I was keen, but I couldn't sing. Whereas this creature was musical. This king that God had put together, this prince, as we'll see, he's come to known, was one that was beautiful, one that was had workmanship, that had skill and talent. And it says here, I keep on losing my place. This pulpit throws me out with it so steep. I should. Yeah, I use that. You know what? And it just looks a bit more military, doesn't it? Like you could mount some sort of rifle on that. That's what it looks like. It looks like a bench rest. Yeah. That's where we need to be. We need a bench rest. Here we go. All right. So, verse 13 and 14, that's where I was. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth in verse... Oh, that's not the verse I'm up to. Yes, it is. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. I needed someone to read that out for me. Who's green? Who's green? Verse 13 and 14. You in Ezekiel, bro? You in Ezekiel? Flick over to Ezekiel 28 for me. Help him find it, Tobes. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 14. He was dressed, he was created in this beauty. And in verse 13 and 14, the Bible says that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. The Lord starts to give us a picture of his kingdom, of his heavenly kingdom. Have you seen Stones of Fire? What is your name again, bro? I keep forgetting. Forgot the last. Jamin. Jamin. Try and get that stuck in my head. Jamin. Stones of Fire. What do you reckon that is? Burning stones. I mean, that's a pretty cool picture, isn't it? To have this place where there's these stones of fire in the midst of God, and this angelic creature that's spoken of here that God made walked up and down in the midst of it. Talks about where he was and what he'd been. Thou walkest up and down in the midst of a fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways. Dressed in workmanship. Sounds like it was a particularly special creation that God put together. God had a purpose for it. Verse 15, who's read? Good man. I'll come back to you. You didn't get off yet. Ezekiel 28, verse 15. Iniquity. Good man, good man. Thou wast perfect in thy days until iniquity was found in thee. How many of you remember being in church as a little kid when you were 6, 7, 8, that sort of thing? And it was cool, wasn't it? You wanted to be there. It was exciting. You loved Sunday school. It was a delightful thing. Right? And you just thought the world was bright and rosy. But now you're 16 or 14 or 18 or 17 or wherever you're at. And have you found that life isn't as rosy and you're not as sweet and serving God isn't as exciting as it was when you were little? You know what? Every little kid in church loves God when they're 5 and 6. But sometimes when you get to 15 or 16, you know what happens? You find iniquity in you. You're not as perfect as what you thought you were. You start to see sin that you didn't realize was going to get on you. You start to see struggles that you didn't think you were going to have. That was struggles other people had. And you find, oh, we all like sheep have gone astray. We are all undone. And so this creature, the Bible says that he was perfect, complete, not a fault in him, until iniquity was found in him. Iniquity snuck in. Who's got blue? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Go there for me, bro. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Remember where he is. He's walking up and down in the stones of fire. He's there in the throne room of God, so to speak. He's there, the cherub that overcovers the throne. This is who this king, this prince that's spoken of is. And what do we have in Hebrews 1 8? Is that where I sent you? Does it tell us what he loves? Or is that the next verse? Read verse 9, bud. Iniquity. Good man, pull up there. It's that iniquity that I wanted to look at. Loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And what was found in this king? What was found in him? He was perfect until what was found in him? Iniquity. Here's this creature that God made. Here's this king that God appointed. And as God appointed him king, he was perfect, just like he was supposed to be. Everything he was supposed to be until iniquity was found in him. And you know what the Son hates? Iniquity. The very thing that God despises was found in this king that God created. Iniquity was found in him. And he was no longer what God wanted him to be. All right, who's got red? Have we done red? Red's done. Hand them in. We need some more. We're back the other side. Red, blue, green, yellow. That was disappointing. Hang on a second. Still yellow? Who's yellow? Who's yellow? Jeff was... You know, you really shouldn't be yellow. You should be brave and courageous, not yellow. But that's all right. Where'd I put yellow? I didn't put yellow anywhere. You just have to wait your turn. Okay? I've got a yellow coming up. Let's do that. Kind of misses the front row, doesn't it? We'll just do that. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. Oh, here's yellow, Toby. Verse 16, Ezekiel 28, 16. Thou hast sinned, is what it's pointed out here. You look at the multitude of his merchandise, the violence, and the Lord said, thou hast sinned. Because he sinned, the Son said, I'll cast you out, I'll destroy you. He has a king, but he has a king that he's created, a prince that he's created, and he said, but the end of this prince, the end of this kingship is going to be destruction. I'm going to cast him out, I'm going to destroy him. I need a yellow one on the front there, girls. Don't fight over it now. Alrighty. And so he says, I'm going to cast you out. Who's green? Verse 17. Yep. Verse 17, buddy. No. Verse 17. 28, 17. Here's this king. He's full of violence. He's full of sin. And then how does he get there? You know how he got there? He got there one day because he was looking in the mirror and he went, that's a bit all right right there. I'm a pretty fancy looking sort of a thing. I mean, look at them diamonds. I mean, look at them barrels. And he got listening one day to the sound of his own music and he went, now that's kind of nice. Look at that tune that I'm whistling. Look at me, look at what I can do. And the Bible says here that his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. And his wisdom was corrupted by reason of his brightness. And he saw what he was and he went, well, look, if I'm all of that, then I tell you, I'm something to be admired. Who's got red? Go back to Hebrews 1:3. Everyone else stay in Ezekiel, but Hebrews 1:3, if you've got the red. Someone going there? Who's got the red? Good man. And so he's looking at himself and he's seeing everything he was. And you know, when you're little, you're kind of mindful of everyone else. But did you notice that as you sort of hit teenage years, you became very conscious of yourself? And rather being mindful of everyone else, you were mindful of what everyone thought of you. It's kind of hard, isn't it? Walk into a room full of strangers when you're a teenager and it's like, what are they going to... How am I dressed? Is my hair all right? What does it smell like? We're very conscious of ourselves. And that was where this king got to a point where this creature got to a point where he was very conscious of himself. But you know what he judged? He went, I am something special. Look at me. Look at my brightness. Look at my beauty. Hebrews.
This time the real image of God is the way and the exact representation
Good man. They're the bits we wanted. Those bits right there. The express image. The beauty, the brightness of His glory. That was the Son. The Son was the brightness of the glory of God. He was the express image of exactly what God was. The express image of His person. But this creature got to looking at himself and went, well, I'm something all right. And you want to be careful of that, because when you think you're something all right, you realize what you need to remember? You're created in the image of God. And what's good about you is a reflection of God's goodness. But this king, he got to going, you know, I'm something all right. He got looking at his brightness and his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. He got looking at his wisdom and it was corrupted by reason of his brightness. And he forgot that Christ was the express image of God and the brightness of his glory. Who's got blue? Verse 18 and 19 of Ezekiel. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities. And so what does the Lord say to him? I'll set a fire in the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of them that behold thee. He walked in his iniquity and the multitude of his sin, and the Lord said, I'll set a fire in thee that will burn thee and consume thee to ashes, and I will destroy thee so that no one knows thee. Till you're not, it just passed away. He says, you know what the end of this king's going to be? It's going to be destruction. I'm going to destroy this king because of the sin and the iniquity that's got in him. Now you want to remember something. That the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. And God gave him an oil of gladness. But this one that loved iniquity and hated righteousness, the Lord set a fire in the midst of him to consume him. And he'll be burned up and destroyed. And that's what your sin will do. It'll destroy you. The Lord will allow it to destroy you. Who's green? Go to John 12. Who's green? No one's green? Green's been used. How did green get used? Red, blue, green, yellow. All right, I'll go there. It's where we started. Oh, wrong way to go to John. John chapter 12. It's the thought that we started with. And here we get to identify and see who the Lord is talking about here. John chapter 12 and verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Here in John, Jesus is speaking and he talks about a prince of this world. And you need to be very mindful of something as you step into this week and as you consider about the things of God, that there is the Prince of Peace and he is the captain of our salvation. He is the author and finisher. He is the creator of all things. But there is a prince of this world. There is a prince of this world that was created for the purpose of glorifying God, but he liked himself too much and said, no, I'll glorify me rather than glorify God. He was created by God for the purpose to serve God, and he said, but I'm not going to serve God because I'm bright enough myself and I'm wise enough myself, and I'll serve me, and by his pride he was lifted up. And God said, I'll destroy you. And he hasn't destroyed him yet, because now he's the prince of the power of this air, the prince of this world. And now you know why Christ is the captain of our salvation. He holds a military title because there is a war afoot. There is a battle for the souls of men that's been weighed out across this world. And while Christ seeks to save that which is lost, you know what the devil seeks to do? He seeks to convince you that you're bright enough and you're wise enough and you just need to serve you and not worry about God. Because that's what he did. And you find that when you are confronted with Christ and when you're confronted with God, that you'll have to make a choice. Am I going to serve me and follow the devil's example? Or am I going to serve God and follow my captain's example in Christ? At the end of the day, you're going to have to decide who your captain's going to be. And we know the end of this captain. We know the end of this prince. The Bible says here that he'll be cast out. Let's go back to Hebrews. Who's got the last yellow ball? Up the front here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. You there? Nice and loud for me. That he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. Do you know what the captain of our salvation is about? He's about the destruction of the devil and all that are his. And the salvation of the saints and all that belong to God. The salvation of God's people. You are going to be confronted this week over and over and again, Lord willing, by the preaching here, by the games and the activities, by the goings on of this week, that there are two kingdoms and there are two sides to a battle that is raging. And Christ is the captain of one and the devil is the prince of the other. And on the cross of Calvary, the devil was destroyed and the battle was won. We're just waiting for the Lord to fold it all up. You guys, as we look in the mornings and spend some time together, I want to point you under Jesus. I want to draw your attention to Jesus. And as I do, I want to do that with acknowledging the fact that there is a devil that wants to distract you from Christ. He doesn't want you to look under Jesus. He wants you to look under him. He wants you to look under yourself. He wants you to look in the mirror and go, I'm the only one that really matters. And God doesn't. You're going to have to make some decisions about how you'll follow your captain, if that's who Christ is to you. You'll have to make some decisions about which side you're on. Whether you're on the winning side, whether you're on the Lord's side, or whether you're on the devil's side and the side of destruction, the side of misery and grief. So I want you to think serious about it. I want you to be mindful of the reality of those two sides and that battle for the Lord and for the right. That battle for souls. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that we might know who you are through your word, but we might also know who the traitor of the devil is. That you make it abundantly plain, Lord, about his treason and about his treachery. You make it abundantly plain that all that matters to him is himself and none other. We thank you, Lord, for your great love wherewith you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. Lord, help us this week that we might see Jesus and look unto him as the author and finisher of our faith. We ask these things in your name, in confidence of you as our captain. Amen.